Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
I think the three of us are going to have an incredible time.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 10, Lost in Las Vegas. And now here are your gambling addict hosts, Tari Ariano.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Elvis. Is that what that was?
That was me just going with my mush mouth. That happened exactly at the same time. So here are your hosts.
Okay.
Shall we get lost in Las Vegas?
If you want, I could be Elvis during this whole podcast.
Please don't.
Okay. Can you be Dracula?
No.
Oh.
Dracula doesn't do Las Vegas. Too many lights, even in the night.
Oh, fair enough.
All right.
Unless Dracula bit Elvis. And then Elvis became a vampire.
I think that might have happened. We can't prove it did not happen. He was quite nocturnal.
You know, can make me a peanut butter and blood sandwich. Boo.
David! Oh, my God.
I mean, I was thinking it, but yeah, wow. Jeez.
No.
Dave had an appointment canceled, so now he's got all the time in the world to dick around.
Don't you think that Dracula sired Elvis isn't coming back during this podcast? Because it totally is.
I didn't think it wasn't.
I did not think that either. Not that lucky.
No.
Please. Folks, it's 90 degrees here and the AC is off in my office. Can we get into it, please? Yeah.
Starting with our B plot. It's not even in Las Vegas. Brandon meets a redhead, but he's still not over that blonde. So everyone's going to Vegas, which we will get to, except Brandon, because I guess it's their fucking pre-Thanksgiving Fortnite break at their lazy ass school. But anyway, Steve thinks it's because Brandon wants to have the house to himself to fuck Tracy in, but she finished her exams and went home to see her family. Steve is finishing a term paper and wants to check against something else for format. And after we see that Brandon has brilliantly titled his file Brandon's Paper, like it's the only one he's going to write in his senior year of college, we get the title page, which is The Hostile Witness, : Taking the Fifth Amendment, : A Cursory Review of Famous Liars. This is not the only thing we see on his computer. And Sarah, you took a screenshot. Do you want to discuss?
Way to have a run-on in your subtitle. Settle down. And then some of his file names are misspelled. And then don't they have like grocery list on the computer? Like, just get a magnetic notepad for the fridge. Mm-hmm. Are you a communist?
Yeah. Yeah. So Claire comes whining in looking for help with her bags, and when Brandon goes to help her, Steve gives Brandon's paper a dirty look and then puts his name on the title page without the slightest whiff of a qualm, which is kind of hilariously old school Steve. Like, he just doesn't even hesitate about just straight up stealing Brandon's paper.
Yeah, which somehow Brandon got an A on despite that. Horrible. And also, I don't like the font. It's a lot of mid-90s tech, but it's also a lot of early 90s Steve, given what we just saw at the end of the previous episode, which was his, like, you know, I have learned a lot about myself and enjoying reading and the journey is the destination and all of this, like, you know, Steve grows up a little stuff and then he immediately reverts back to form. Like he's not going to get busted like he does every time. Oh, Steve. Anyway, that's a matter for next week. But for now, oh, Steve.
Yeah. So over at the beach apartment, Kelly picks up the phone. It's Mark because who else? They are flirty and boring. He wants to spend the weekend with her and is also saying he loves her, which for all of Donna's talk a few episodes ago about, isn't this moving too fast? That's too fast.
Yeah, it is.
And even though he just said he was going to come and get her in an hour, she rolls over and goes back to sleep, which is very rude. At the Peach Pit, Brandon notices that Nat has raised some of his prices in the menu. Not sure why that affects Brandon at all, given what we've seen, but fine.
And seriously,
Brandon points Nat to his customer, who is Allison Smith, formerly Allie's daughter on Kate and Allie, and not yet Leo's daughter on The West Wing. You have seen this lady. Brandon tries to spray his charisma all over her, completely ignoring the fact that she is definitely in no mood. And she orders coffee, but when Nat puts it in front of her, she nervously says she changed her mind and doesn't want it. He offers to bring her something else. She says she just wanted to sit there for a while. And Nat asks if she's all right. She says she's not. And for some reason, Brandon thinks he is entitled to trap her in his laser beam stare and insert himself into the conversation, as we hear in clip two.
Can I be honest with you?
Honesty is always the best policy.
Yeah.
You're short.
I don't know what to do.
What's the matter?
I just got into town and I was waiting at this bus stop a couple of blocks from here. And I was headed to see my fiance because we're getting married. And this guy on rollerblades came by and he stole my purse and everything in it, my money and the address to where I'm supposed to meet my fiancé, and he's waiting for me, so I'm sitting here and I'm trying to remember where to go. But it's my first time in Los Angeles, and I don't know what to do.
Well, take it easy. We'll figure something out. Right?
Yeah, yeah, of course we will. Everything's gonna be okay.
Well, what should I do?
Have some breakfast on the house. We'll try to figure this thing out. Right, Brandon?
Absolutely. By the way, my name is Brandon Walsh, and your lovely hostess here is Nat Busiccio. Same old Nat, brand new price.
I'm Melanie Harold. I'm from Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Well, anyway, thanks for being so nice. I'm pretty scared.
No need to be scared. Listen, you just have some food, and I'll give you a ride anywhere you need to go.
Really?
Absolutely. You got nothing to worry about.
I really do. I don't know where I'm going.
Oh. Well, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just relax.
Oh, God.
I mean, I have a long list of objections to all of this, except that's right. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It really seemed like this was shaping up to be another ginger situation
yes,
where she's
especially
scamming
since
him.
She is a ginger. Like, why didn't you name her? Well, yeah, anyway.
But spoiler alert, no. Brandon brings Melanie to the Wilshire Crescent Motel, which she thinks is where she was supposed to go. She hopes her fiance is there. There's also a moment where Brandon takes her suitcase out of the back seat of his car and then like struggles with it. I made a GIF because he like lifts it up and then has to drop it and pick it up again. He's wee, guys. He's a tiny little man. And then he goes in with her like it's his business to learn that her fiance, Phil Harris, checked out a couple of days ago and didn't leave any message for her. And Brandon gives the desk guy his number and asks him to give it to Phil if he shows up. Like, why would he? Announcing to Melanie that she is staying with him. Even in the past, this is insane. And you think that Melanie must have a tiny bit of sense, but of course she doesn't in clip three.
Brandon, I couldn't. You've already done so much already.
I don't think you have much of a choice now, do you?
Well, no, I don't, but I don't know if I'd feel comfortable. How do I know I can trust you?
Isn't that supposed to be my line?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Melanie, would you relax? This is Los Angeles. Nothing bad happens here. Well, almost nothing bad happens here.
Already ran into Brandon having been in town for 20 minutes, so the worst thing that could happen to you has already occurred.
Yeah. So the cost of a free stay with Brandon for this poor idiot is getting dragged to the TV station to be impressed by him as if. She, we find out, went to a junior college and has a certificate in secretarial. Okay. And she wants to become a legal secretary in L.A., but he says he doesn't know anything about that and goes into the control room to get some papers and walks in just in time to see Mark and Kelly pecking barely and blusters out while she calls after him. But he ignores Kelly and hustles out with Melanie.
Grabbing her by the arm,
of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Cock.
That's his signature move. And back home, Phil calls the Walsh house looking for Melanie, improbably. She gives him the broad strokes and asks for the address so he can come pick her up. And Brandon smugly says he told her everything would work out. This is also where he's spinning a bottle of water in his hand for no reason, because as Sarah pointed out in her visual aids, that he can't drink any drink like a normal person.
No, we see this happen with three different beverages. He's doing the hold the coffee cup by not the handle again, because it doesn't get hot. Why would it? It's hot coffee. Yeah. Then he's twirling a water bottle he already opened. That never goes wrong. And then he serves white wine in a red wine glass and holds it like it's, I don't even know what, a communion chalice. Like, just go away.
Yeah.
Drink things out of my sight. Also, I hate you. Kill yourself.
And then the doorbell rings and Brandon opens the door to Phil and calls Melanie downstairs, and Phil seems pleasant and normal and grateful for Brandon's help. And Melanie comes downstairs and she and Phil hug. And Brandon tells them to go sit in the living room while he gets the phone, but like, wouldn't they want to leave? But they don't. And it's months calling from the Peach Pit. He's supposed to come and pick up Steve's term paper the next day. And when Brandon comes back to the foyer, the front door is just closed and Melanie is still in the living room looking shattered. Because Phil left, because it's over. He met someone his second day in LA and fell in love with her and didn't have the balls to tell Melanie before she traveled from Chagrin Falls. And she falls onto Brandon's shoulder as she cries that now everything's off, and Brandon hugs her and looks worried about his handful. Which, you know, that was your choice,
and
dude.
Keeping in mind, Phil, first of all, Phil Harris and Melanie Harold.
Yeah.
Come on, writer's room. Get a fucking phone book, kids. Ask your parents. Second of all, Phil shows up all smiles at Casa Walsh, acted normal in front of Brandon, and then in the space of this relatively short and completely fillery phone call from months, explained what we just heard to Melanie, announced that he was over it, and left?
Yeah.
All in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No one cares. Let us proceed.
No. Over at Mark's, Kelly has overdosed on sushi, and he snuggles up to her 1 second after she's just finished whining about how full she is and tells her she should spend the night. She doesn't think that's a good idea. She wants to, but she doesn't want to think he's a tease, and he claims he's okay just sleeping together, literally, because having sex with her, or as he puts it, of course, making love, is an eventuality, so there's nothing to be frustrated about for him. And Kelly flirts about that, and a dumb pillow fight, of course, ensues. And then over in Beverages Drunk Wrong, Brandon pours wine into Sarah.
A red wine glass.
Yes. Near candles for a remarkably calm Melanie. She says she grew up today. The little girl in her got trampled. And she doesn't believe in dreams anymore. He doesn't think she has to give up her dreams just because of this. And she disagrees, since marriage is all she ever wanted. And what about his dreams? Well, this will be rich. Clip 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dreams. I guess lately I've been thinking about going to law school. Maybe applying for a Rhodes Scholarship.
Really? You want to be a lawyer?
No, I don't think I want to be a lawyer. But, I've been thinking about a career in politics.
How high do you want to go?
Well, as high as I can get. Without inhaling, of course.
Drink.
Oh. President.
If that's all they got.
Sarah?
More like a Chode scholarship. Am I right? I am right. And also, I cracked myself up with that for 15 minutes today. Thanks, Dave. Oh, I mean, what? And stop with the inhaling jokes. It's like Clinton's second term by now, isn't it? It's not funny.
Yes. This
it's never
this
funny.
Aired on the 13th of November, I believe. So, yeah.
Oh, God. I just... He should go to law school. That's about right.
What an indictment. Yikes. So then Melanie stupidly asks about the girl he ran away from at the TV station, and he tells her briefly about the failed proposal, adding that he's still in love with Kelly in some way. Bleah. Melanie compliments... Melanie compliments his way of making everything seem like it's going to be okay and adds that Kelly must be crazy. Brandon agrees that she's crazy about another guy, and Melanie goes to bed. The next morning, Kelly
it
returns
wasn't quite
to...
That, wasn't quite that cause and effect, but it would be nice if she were like, I gotta go.
Bye. The next morning, Kelly comes back to Mark's with a present, new bedding. He is humiliated that she didn't like his sheets, and... LOL, this is what passed for luxury in the 90s. Clip 5.
See, these have 310 thread count. Much more comfortable.
I don't think you can get that at Walmart now. 310? I feel like they start at 400 these days.
Yeah, seriously. Like, no. So you're a fan of the sandpaper experience. Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, he's happy this seems to mean that she'll be sleeping over more often, and she flirts that she'll be more comfortable if she does. Barf to both of these idiots. And at the Walsh house, Brandon and Melanie are finishing coffee and getting ready to take her to the airport to go back to Ohio. Before she can thank him for the ticket he bought her, he brays that it's a loan, she'll pay him back, and then the phone rings. It's the rat. Brandon has just handed her the receiver when the doorbell rings, and he hands off the paper to Muntz, which Steve at least had the sense to put in a manila envelope so that Brandon couldn't see the incriminating title page. Melanie hangs up slowly. Brandon comes back in. She's not okay. Phil apologized for everything, says he made a big mistake and he wants her back, but she ordered him not to call or try to see her again. And she feels weird, but having Brandon's approval probably means everything to her, of course. And she's going to go back to Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and she's saving enough money to get her apartment in L.A. so she can have her California dream. And Brandon notes she already has her first friend in California. Blah. Such a waste of time. Oh, my God.
Seriously. It was just an excuse for us to hear all about Brandon's, like, great ambitions and that he's still in love with Kelly. Like, we know. We know. We still don't care. Next.
Well, next is not much better. To our A plot, David ruins Vegas. But first, we have a message for Noah.
Allie tells us that Noah is celebrating a major birthday this week and wanted us to help mark the occasion.
Noah's 90210 fandom is serious. Not only does he own the full series box set, but according to Allie, rarely lends it out for fear that he won't get it back. Legit fear, by the way.
So, for Noah's special day, we made a list of show-appropriate ways he could punish anyone who's reckless with his precious Bev Niner DVDs.
Number one, make them retake the SATs.
Number two, selectively edit an interview with them to make them look like jerks.
Number three, push them down the stairs.
Number four, set a house on fire, trap them in the bathroom, and hope they don't notice the window.
And number five, shoot them in the stomach!
From all of us here and Allie,
happy birthday, Noah! David calls Val, manically babbling about their plans and making good time and ignoring Val when she says they're all waiting for him. And before they hang up, she thanks him for giving her the money for the club. Speaking of which, maybe she should be putting it to work instead of fucking off to Vegas right now. Just saying. That does not come up. At this point, we see there will be a special appearance by Jamie Walters. Define special, sorry, obligatory. And... David is driving Val, Steve, and Claire with the top down for about 500 years until he muses that he'd like to know how fast this car would go, can go. Claire would rather not. Everyone buckles up now as if they haven't already been driving for a while, if there aren't any signs of civilization around them. But they're getting up to 90 when Claire in the back seat starts yelling at him to slow down, and Val joins as they get in as they get over 90. Even Steve tells him to knock it off, and David agrees with him that he's crazy and then throws his hands off the wheel and turns all the way around to apologize. Like, is this funny? Is that the point? This is funny?
I don't know. I think we're supposed to think that David thinks it's funny.
Right.
Not, I don't know. I mean, there was so much filler that I almost, like, fast-forwarded past this actual scene.
Uh-huh.
because there's like 100 years of them driving. There's 100 years of like late 60s Sinatra era B-roll of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Twice this happens. There's Ray's song that we're still trapped in some hell dimension. I can't even. But then I sort of watched the scene and was like, can we get to the crisis point here with this kid, please? Because we don't care enough about him to keep watching this mania unfold.
Well, and I mean, I guess the point of that was for us to all see that even though Steve and Claire and Val all had their lives literally endangered by his recklessness, none of them thinks it's any more than like just high spirits, because they don't, even when later events occur, they don't connect them at all.
Yeah. And wouldn't someone at least, at the very least, be like, this is how he acted when he was on meth?
Exactly.
And orange juice, because it's exactly the same, because Brian Austin Green is not the most elastic thespian.
No, that is true.
Why are we still talking about this?
I don't know. At her place, Donna tries to study, but she's worried about David. She didn't go to Vegas because he keeps telling her that she's acting like his mother. And Kelly and Donna both agree that Val won't be much help, but Kelly thinks Claire and Steve will be able to keep David from doing anything too stupid. Well, Claire might. Donna just doesn't.
Good one.
Donna doesn't get why David is determined to throw away everything he has, and Kelly doesn't think there's anything left for Donna to do because, once again, she's a great shrink. And after the episode's, as Sarah said, second montage, David and Val are being helped into a suite. David, of course, giving the bellman a huge tip, and Val is impressed by the accommodations in Clip 6.
Yeah, it's a comp. If I gamble at least 10 grand in that casino, the room is free.
You gonna gamble that much?
What, are you kidding? I'm gonna win that much and more.
Oh, good. As long as you have a plan.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Well, that's settled. Let's get room service. Room service.
They discuss where they're going to sleep and flirtily agree that they will sleep together. And David also sees that Ray is playing 3 shows at the hotel that night, but they'll have plenty of time to fuck first. Val thinks. However, David is focused on gambling instead of Val and her boobs, which is the number one sign he is not well and needs professional help, in my opinion.
Seconded. But what do we know? We were English majors.
True. In their room, Claire notes to Steve that they're in room 3003, which means nothing to him. She thinks gambling is all about hunches, and if you get a good hunch, you get a good bet. Didn't Claire already teach herself to count cards last season? Am I remembering that right?
Maybe.
I think there was some kind of charity casino thing at the Peach Pit After Dark, and she taught herself how to win at blackjack.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, but good memory.
The writers don't have my good memory, apparently, because now it's all about hunches. She thinks she's found their lucky number. And then the crew meets Ray at a coffee shop in the hotel, and everyone is all smiles as if he didn't assault their friend. Whatever.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. All's forgiven.
I mean, I guess all was already forgiven when he played the Peach Pit After Dark the last time, but still. David orders 2 bottles of champagne and commences being obnoxious in Clip 7.
It's on me, celebrating the opening of Ray Pruitt's band in Las Vegas.
Woo!
Did you hear the good news?
Thanks.
Valerie and I are partners now, so we want you to come back to the Peach Pit After Dark and headline. Double your old guarantee.
That's a great offer. Thanks. That is good news, you and Valerie, huh?
Pretty scary, huh?
Hey, come on now. That's a partnership made in heaven. Look, you just name the date, and we'll make sure we have the stage and the old crowd all revved up for you.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to our road manager and see what we can work out.
Great. Ray, we'll be here for your show tonight. Look, I'm going to go to the casino and gamble, so you guys just enjoy the bubbly, all right?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I don't mean to be rude or anything, but what's gotten into David?
Oh, I'll tell you what's gotten into him. Money. And a whole lot of it. He inherited a bundle from his grandfather.
Huh. Well, he seems to be having a pretty good time spending it.
Yeah. The great thing is it hasn't gone to his head at all.
And again, I have to point out, like, the way he's spending it, it would be gone. Like, if he'd already, like, gave Val half for the club.
Yeah.
Or whatever their deal was. Like, if he gave her 100 grand and the way he's been spending and buying champagne and tipping people and having Donna's car fixed, whatever else, like, I don't know. like later in the episode, let's just say that when he gets cleaned out, I was surprised there was anything left, but we will get to that.
We will. I will also note eventually, when even Ray is more sensitive than David's closest friends about what is going on with him, you're really missing a lot of clues, guys.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ray, oh boy, another song, clip 8. I could take it here, but you could take me there. It's a sign, oh, I can't be seen. Let's make the great escape and get out of this place. Straight to outer space, where we can't be alone.
I mean, could it be more generic?
Nope. And we hear, like, the whole thing. There's so much filler in this episode. Again, not a complaint, just an observation.
Yeah, and then there's, like, a lot of applauding, like, oh my god, why? Why is this a whole episode? Help me.
David is drinking way more than everyone else and pours the rest of his champagne down his throat. And since he's feeling lucky, he wants to go play cards. Steve and Claire go to the roulette table to play her hunch. And this happens, clip 9.
Yes, 3. Exactly 3. 2 less than 5, 1 more than 2. 3.
Steve is not a Monty Python fan. He's just not. That was such a weird thing to get into that in there. And even if he'd seen the source for where that reference came from, like once, he wouldn't have seen it enough to memorize it and quote it to Claire.
Yeah, no.
But anyway.
Even if he had, why? Like what writer insisted on this?
Yeah.
Getting
or did
there?
He? Like, is I can't even believe that Ian Ziering is a Monty Python fan, frankly. Like,
no, I can't either.
At least when Jason Priestley does Elvis, it seems like it's coming from like something in him that he should be ashamed of, but still something in him. Anyway, they bet and they lose, but Claire is sure something's wrong because she's a math whiz, which means numbers talk to her. No, that's not how being a math whiz works.
Maybe if you're in a beautiful mind, which is David's job right now. I don't know.
Right.
Different diseases. Don't at me.
Yeah. Speaking of David, Val is looking worried as she sits with him while he plays blackjack and wins. She comments that the more he drinks, the more he wins, but she doesn't seem ready to pick a fight about it in clip 10.
I'm not drunk. I'm having a good time. Are you?
I'm sorry, David. I'm having a great time.
See? That's what I like to hear. How about this? I'll put $500 on your next hand. If you win, you get to take it, and if you lose, I'll soak it up. What do you say?
All right.
All right. Yeah, I feel you, Val.
Yeah.
Up in the room.
Just go back to the room. Like, it's not like there's only one key. Just go watch NCIS LA in your pajamas and get mashed potatoes from room service. He's paying.
Yeah. God, what would have been the NCIS LA of the time of 96? JAG? Was JAG still on then? I think it was.
Might have been. Probably just Law and Order, frankly.
Yeah,
at that hour. Yeah.
True. Up in their room, Claire still can't shut up to Steve about her hunch. And he kisses her 3 times on the neck, and she thinks it's confirming her 3 hunch. But when they look at their room number again, she says it's 3003. Steve doesn't get it. Claire wants to go back to the casino. And Donna is studying again when David calls from the casino floor to tell her what a great time they're all having and offer to send her a car for her. She declines politely and tells him to be careful and to call her when she gets home. And then he hangs up and thinks real hard. And later still, Val implores David to come back to the room with her. But apparently his luck turned at some point and he's determined to break even. And he loses another hand and flips out. And when Val suggests again that they go back to the room, he spits at her not to tell him what to do and announces that he's going to another casino, complaining that she's doing what Donna always does. And finally, she's had enough. Good. He leaves. And then Claire's winning at roulette thanks to her hunch. She's been winning, only betting $3 at a time on 00, and everyone else at the table starts following her. And when she's won enough for a Lafitte Bordeaux, they quit. A snooze.
Oh my God.
Like, they didn't have to come. They didn't need a storyline. This isn't one. What was the point of any of that? Whatever.
Yeah. I miss the Nana and her mumsy hair win at slots. days.
Yeah. At the door of the hotel, David strikes up a conversation in the cab line with a couple of cute ladies who agree to come along with him to a casino downtown. And the blonde one asks if they can stop by their hotel first for a couple of drinks. He is very agreeable. And then, of course, we're at the Mustang Motel where the two girls, who it turns out actually picked up David, have drugged him and are in the process of robbing him. And apparently he's been walking around with a couple of grand in cash, and they also take his credit cards and his clothes just to be mischievous and spiteful, which I support.
But left his driver's license, though, and they really should have taken it because according to his driver's license, he's a 5'9", 110-pound female.
Yeah. Whoopsies.
Oh, props. The only thing they got right was the photo in which he looks like a total asshole.
He does. You can see this in the visual aids.
Sure can.
And they also left him the bad photo of Donna, which no one would want. And the next morning at breakfast, Val and Steve and Claire and Ray are discussing the absent David and all the money he blew. Steve isn't that worried, assuming that David went to another casino, took another room, and crashed. But Val tries to explain the state he was in the night before in clip 11.
You saw him. He was completely out of control.
Then why'd you let him go? You guys are his friends. Somebody should have been looking out for him.
Well, that's easy to say. Val's right. I mean, we couldn't have stopped him.
He's only been gone 8 hours. Well, maybe somebody should call Donna and see if she's heard from him.
That's the last thing he's going to want.
Why?
Because Donna's been hovering over him like a nursery school teacher. He's sick of it.
Well, maybe that's what David needs right now.
Ooh.
Thanks, Dr.
Ray. Voice of reason again.
Seriously.
Ray takes off to call Donna, and David wakes up groggily in a horror movie? Clip 12. It's a lot. He quickly realizes what
has
happened. By the
way, if you think that snippet was long, it goes on for another 2 weeks, just rubbing his face and like making dry mouth sounds like, he got rolled. Yeah.
We watched it happen. We don't need to put this together. We get it. So he quickly realizes what has happened and that he is an idiot. And Donna apparently did take a flight to Vegas in an incredibly ugly suit, which you can see in the visual aids. And by the time she arrives, David has been reunited with the gang, but she's full of judgment in clip 13.
Pretty rough night, though. Spent it in a cheap motel room with everything gone but his socks and underwear.
Yeah, it's been a pretty embarrassing situation for David. He doesn't want to talk to any of us. Just you.
What's wrong with you guys? How could you let this happen to him?
What? Donna, what do you expect us to put a leash on the guy?
No, I'm about acting like his friends. Donna, that's not really fair. Well, I don't really care about being fair right now. I care about David. Now, where is he? He's up in our room. Our room?
Ooh. Whoops.
Yeah.
Mom wasn't supposed to know about that one.
Mom.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And when Donna lets herself...
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I'm with Claire. Or Steve. Like... Yeah, he was acting out of control and someone should have noticed that, but someone should have noticed it a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he is an adult. Like, past a certain point, if they suggest that he chill and he doesn't chill,
yep.
What are they supposed to do? Put a psych hold on him in Nevada? Come on.
Right.
Shut up, Donna.
So when she lets herself into his room, he looks pathetically rough. You can see that in the visual aids, too. The only thing worse is that she's wearing like platform flip flops with like clear upper straps and a flower, and they're so fucking ugly. They're actually worse than his tacky Vegas suite. It's terrible.
They were everywhere for like 3 months, and then they were like floor to ceiling stacked up in daffies for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. Awful.
Yep. So he cries that he doesn't know what's happening to him. He's losing it. He needs her to help him. And she says she will. And he's so embarrassed for making such a fool of himself. He doesn't know what's wrong with him. And she's here for him and will never let anything like this happen to him again. As ever, as that happens every time they go through this cycle, he is not worth it. Not even one little bit. Not even Donna deserves to waste her time this way. It is very sad and upsetting. But the episode is over.
Yay.
Who is our MVP? Donna, who's actually trying to help, I would say.
I'm going to say the David's two tricks who rolled him because, like, thank you. Let's move this along. Let's start having some actual consequences. And also, they showed me that driver's license, which I laughed at for like a whole day. It was great.
Okay, least valuable player. I'm going to say Phil Harris, because if he had had his shit together from the beginning, we never would have had to bother with that Brandon and Melanie plot cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Brandon.
Yeah.
Learn to drink drinks, asshole.
And a user-submitted challenge. This comes from at Jeff Rundell on Twitter. 5 things in the episode worse than Donna's hair. Donna's shoes. Donna's
Brandon's
suit.
Brandon's water bottle twirling.
Nat's new prices that he's pretending he's going to actually charge.
Ray's song.
All right, that makes 5.
Sure does. Next time on Again With This, David throws a tantrum again. Steve gets busted again, and Kelly and Mark are bored sick by their glacial romance arc again. You'll also be sickened by the visual aids for this and every other Again With This episode that you can find on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this podcast at Again With This 90210. I'm Mandalay Bray, Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with my co-host, the MGM Stuff, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And damn it, I thought I was going to get through without laughing at my own jokes. I'm not. Our producer is Stratosqueef. David T. Cole, he's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time. Thank you for laughing at that, Tara.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.